Welcome back, brain enthusiasts. Ready for another deep dive? Today, we're all about that incredible organ inside our heads, the brain. You know, how it works, how it helps us learn, how it adapts, and, you know, all that good stuff. And get this, it only weighs about 2% of our body weight, but uses a whopping 20% of our body's energy. It's like, seriously, a supercomputer that never shuts down.
It's true. And that energy fuels some pretty amazing stuff. Think about it. 86 billion neurons firing away, communicating through trillions of connections, these things called synapses.
Trillions of connections. Wow, synapses. Makes me think of, I think I read this somewhere, that these tiny gaps between neurons, you know, the synapses, they're kind of like bustling city intersections.
Yeah.
And the more connections, the more traffic flowing through, like the more vibrant the city, right?
That's a great analogy. Mm. The same goes for your brain. Like the more connections, the more you're able to learn, the more you can do. It's all about building those neural pathways.
So like learning a language, the more you practice, the more, you know, you immerse yourself, the stronger those pathways, those connections become, right? That's pretty encouraging, especially when I'm trying to learn something new.
Absolutely. And you know, that ability of your brain to like constantly change, adapt throughout your whole life, that's neuroplasticity. It's like your brain's constantly remodeling itself based on what you experience.
That makes you realize you're not just stuck with the brain you're born with, huh? It's evolving all the time. Okay, so maybe to understand all this, maybe we should start with like a tour of the brain's key areas, right? Like a roadmap for today's deep dive.
Sounds good. Let's start with the cerebrum, the largest part of the brain, the command center. And it's split into, you know, the left and right hemispheres.
Okay, classic left brain, right brain split. So is it true the left is all logic and the right is like the creative side?
Well, it's not quite that straightforward. The left side is usually better with things like language and analytical thinking, and the right is, you know, better at spatial awareness and creativity, but they really work together in pretty complex ways.
So more like a dynamic duo working in sync.
Exactly. They're partners, each with their strengths,
yeah,
helping you navigate the world.
Got it. Okay, so then what about that outer layer of the cerebrum, the one all folded and intricate? I can't remember what it's called.
That's the cerebral cortex. And that's where like most of the higher level stuff happens. It's also divided into lobes, each with its own specialties.
The lobes. Okay, tell me about those.
Well, two that are really important for learning are the frontal lobe and the temporal lobe. The frontal lobe is like the executive suite. It's all about decision making, planning, focus, even helps you control your impulses.
So when I'm trying to resist that second piece of cake, it's my frontal lobe I should be thanking.
Exactly. It's willpower central, helping you stay on track. Then there's the temporal lobe on the sides of your head. That one's key for memory, language, auditory processing. It's where you store memories and, you know, figure out what people are saying to you.
So my love for podcasts comes from my temporal lobe. Makes sense. Okay, so what about the cerebellum, that little guy at the back under the cerebrum? I always thought it was just for balance.
That's what a lot of people think, yeah. It does help with balance and coordination for sure, but it also does so much more. The cerebellum is refining those automatic movements that we do without even thinking, like playing the piano or typing.
So it's like our behind-the-scenes choreographer, making sure everything's smooth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And while it's doing all that, it's also involved in some learning and memory.
Amazing. A real multitasker back there.
Yeah.
So what else is in there in our brains?
Well, there's the diencephalon deep inside the brain, and it's home to some key players. One is the thalamus, which is like the grand central station of your sensory world.
Grand central station. Okay, you've got to explain that one.
Okay, think of it this way. Your thalamus takes sensory information from your eyes, ears, skin, your whole body, really, and sends it to the right part of your brain. It's incredibly efficient at sorting through all that input.
It was like a sensory traffic controller, making sure everything gets where it needs to go.
Exactly. And just below that, we've got the hypothalamus. Tiny, but really important. Governs basic drives, you know, hunger, thirst, body temperature.
Wow, such a small part can have such a big impact on how we feel and what we do.
It's really incredible. And it works with the pituitary gland, too. That's like the body's hormone headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Together, they handle things like stress, growth, even reproduction.
It's all connected. Speaking of connections, you mentioned those 86 billion neurons earlier. How do they like actually communicate? Is it like with tiny electrical wires or something?
It's a combination of electrical and chemical signals. Neurons make electrical impulses, but when those reach the synapse, they release chemical messengers, and these are called neurotransmitters.
Neurotransmitters.
Yeah, those cross the gap and bind to the next neuron, and that triggers a new electrical impulse.
So it's like a relay race. Yeah. Electrical signals running, passing a baton, then the chemical messengers carry the message forward.
You got it. And those neurotransmitters, they have specific roles in how we feel, think, and act. For example, dopamine. It's often called the motivation molecule because it's all about reward and pleasure.
So dopamine is all about that motivation and reward. I bet it's a big part of learning too, right?
You bet. When you achieve a goal and feel that sense of accomplishment, dopamine's flooding your brain, saying, keep going, keep learning. It's like your brain's personal cheerleader.
So dopamine's like our brain's reward system, right? Giving us that little boost when we learn something new. But what about when learning feels, I don't know, like a struggle? Are there other neurotransmitters involved then?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's serotonin, which is all about regulating mood, sleep, even digestion. So the calming influence keeps everything in check. And then there's glutamate, the most common neurotransmitter, essential for learning and memory, like the diligent student taking notes, you know, making sure those connections stick.
So dopamine motivates us, serotonin balances us out, and glutamate makes the connections stick. That's a pretty amazing team.
It really is. And knowing how they work can, you know, help us learn more effectively too. Like, think about dopamine and reward.
Hack our learning. Okay, now I'm really intrigued.
Well, if your brain releases dopamine when you experience something rewarding, why not, you know, use that? Break down big tasks into smaller goals, and each time you hit one, dopamine boost. Makes you feel good. Keeps you motivated.
Like turning learning into a game. Level up with each small victory, right? I love that. Any other brain hacks you can share?
Of course. Remember how we talked about the brain-loving patterns connections? That's where associations come in. When you're trying to learn something new, try to link it to something you already know.
Okay, so like if I'm trying to remember a date for, I don't know, history, could I connect it to like a personal anniversary or some other event from around the same time?
Exactly. The more creative, the better. And don't forget about repetition. Practicing a skill, revisiting information.
Yeah.
That helps strengthen those pathways.
So it's not just about cramming before a test. It's about like consistently engaging with the material.
Exactly. And here's another one. Don't underestimate sleep.
Oh, sleep.
It's not just about resting your body. It's about giving your brain time to, you know, consolidate memories, make those connections last.
I'll admit, I've definitely been guilty of those all-nighters. But knowing that sleep is so crucial for memory, I think I'm going to have to rethink that strategy.
It's worth it. Those 7 or 8 hours. Think of it like hitting the save button on all that learning.
Okay, so associations, repetition, sleep, anything else that affects how we learn?
Well, we often think about learning as, you know, purely mental, but our physical health matters too. Exercise, for example, is great for the brain, improves blood flow, delivers nutrients.
So hitting the gym or even just going for a walk, that could boost our brain power.
Absolutely. Even moderate exercise can make a big difference. It's like giving your brain a shot of energy.
Exercise is in. Okay, what about our emotional state? Does that affect learning?
Oh, it plays a huge role. Positive emotions. Our brains release dopamine, and that's a powerful motivator and memory enhancer. So if you're feeling good, you're more likely to remember.
So no more harsh fluorescent lights and sterile classrooms. We need positive, supportive environments.
Exactly. Surround yourself with things that make you feel happy and motivated. And don't be afraid to, you know, take breaks. Stepping away can actually help you come back refreshed.
Makes sense. Sometimes you need to let your brain process everything.
Absolutely. And speaking of, you know, giving your brain some TLC, have you ever tried mindfulness, like meditation or deep breathing?
I've tried meditation a few times. Not sure I'm doing it right, though.
Don't worry about doing it right. Just find what works for you. Be patient. It's all about, you know, training your attention and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Helps reduce stress, improves focus, better emotional regulation. All good for learning.
So it's like a mental spa treatment.
Exactly. A gift that keeps on giving. And here's another one. Embrace novelty. Challenge yourself. The brain thrives on new experiences. So don't be afraid to step outside your comfort zone. Learn a new skill.
Like give your brain a workout.
Exactly. You're building cognitive reserve, which helps protect against age-related decline.
So instead of routines, we should be looking for new experiences, challenges.
Exactly. Travel, learn a language, pick up a new hobby. Those things keep your brain sharp.
It's encouraging to know that, you know, we have so much control.
We do. And remember that myth about only using 10% of our brains? That's so not true.
Right. Like saying we only use 10% of our hearts.
Exactly. Different areas are more active at different times, but we use all of it, all the time.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, incredible potential.
So inspiring. What about brain damage, though? Isn't that, you know, permanent?
Another misconception. While severe injuries can have, you know, lasting effects, the brain is amazing at healing and rewiring itself. Neuroplasticity in action.
So there's always hope.
Absolutely. And another myth, that older adults can't learn new things. Not true. Some functions might decline, but the brain stays plastic.
So it's never too late to teach an old dog new tricks.
Never. Lifelong learning is one of the best ways to, you know, keep your brain healthy as we age.
This is so encouraging. It's a reminder that our brains are, you know, constantly changing. So before we wrap up, let's go back to something we talked about earlier, the pituitary gland and its connection to learning, right? The pituitary gland, that tiny but mighty hormone headquarters. How does that play into learning?
Yeah, tiny but mighty.
Yeah.
And one of the key hormones it handles is cortisol, the stress hormone.
Cortisol, right, right. A little is good, but too much messes with learning.
Exactly. Cortisol is, it's like a double-edged sword. A little bit helps you focus, you know? But when you're stressed all the time, your body just pumps it out nonstop.
Like an alarm bell constantly going up.
And no wonder you can't concentrate.
Exactly. And over time, all that cortisol can actually, you know, damage the hippocampus. And that's the part of the brain that's crucial for making memories.
So managing stress isn't just about feeling better. It's about protecting our brains.
Absolutely. And there's a lot you can do to manage that stress. Exercise, meditation, being out in nature, even just listening to calming music. All those things can help.
Stress management, check. Okay, what about that other hormone, oxytocin, the bonding hormone? How's that connected to learning?
Oxytocin is so interesting. It's usually associated with, you know, social stuff like love and trust. But research is showing it might also help us learn better, especially in groups. So learning with friends is actually more effective, thanks to oxytocin.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Studies suggest oxytocin might make us, you know, more sensitive to social cues. Like, we pick up on emotions and tensions better. And that's really helpful when you're learning collaboratively.
So it's not just about the textbook. It's about connecting with people, learning from their experiences.
Exactly. And oxytocin can also boost motivation by increasing our sense of trust.
Like having a built-in support system.
That's a great way to put it. And this all goes back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier, creating that supportive, engaging learning environment. When you feel safe, connected, your brain is so much more open to new things.
This has been an awesome deep dive. I mean, we've covered so much. Brain structure, neuroplasticity, you know, practical tips. It's really made me appreciate just how powerful the brain is.
It really is an amazing organ. And this is just, you know, a glimpse. There's still so much more to discover.
Exactly. It's a journey. But with what we've learned today, you know, we can start applying this to our lives, become better learners.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Couldn't agree more. So as we wrap up, one final thought. Now that you know just how adaptable your brain is, what new challenge will you take on? What will you learn? What will you do today to keep your brain thriving?
It's never too late to learn, to grow, to, you know, reshape your brain. Keep exploring. Keep challenging yourself.